Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The All-Star break is behind us, and the second half of the baseball season resumes tonight. Here in Boston, the Red Sox, in first place in the American League East, are taking on the New York Yankees for four games, starting tonight and through the weekend. So before we talk a little bit about that, there was some Red Sox news today. The team is parting ways with third baseman Pablo Sandoval, who never really got going in Boston. Pandemania never really hit the city. That means they're cutting their losses after agreeing to pay him $95 million. We're going to take time now for a mid-season check-in and look at that historic Red Sox-Yankee rivalry. And to help me do that, I'm joined by Gordon Eads, longtime sports writer and now the Red Sox team historian. Gordon, good to have you back on Radio Boston.
Great to be here, Anthony. Thank you.
So, as we mentioned, the Red Sox finished that first half of the season in first place, 3.5 games ahead of the Yankees. How do you think they're set up for going into the second half of the season?
I think that there are a lot of encouraging signs, Anthony, because the reality is that I think for the first 3 months of the season, we did not play our best baseball, and there were a lot of challenges. I mean, you lose David Rice for 2 months. Stephen Wright, we lost for the season. We've gone through eight third baseman, Anthony, right. and Hanley Ramirez has not been able to play first base. So for us to be at this position where to hold a 3.5 game lead going into the second half, and David Price now healthy, potentially forming a dominating 1-2 at the top of the rotation.
I think with Chris Sale, arguably the best pitcher out there these days, that's a pretty powerful 1-2 punch.
Absolutely, and there would have been a lot of talk early in the season. You know, without David Ortiz, we didn't have the power in the lineup anymore. The team wasn't hitting home runs. I think a lot of that has been put to bed.
Let me ask you about that, because as folks know, if you do a little bit of reading, they're last in the American League in hitting home runs. So it seems like they really are missing David Ortiz.
Well, there's no question we're missing him, and you knew that. Not only do you not have David's presence in the middle of the lineup, but has a ripple effect on the entire lineup, Anthony. And I think that the encouraging thing in terms of the home runs is that we were so far dead last in home runs through the first 6-8 weeks of the season. That number's kind of picked up now. You're seeing Mookie hit home runs. You're seeing Jackie Bradley Jr. Hitting home runs. We'd like to see an increase in production from Hanley Ramirez. And by the way, you were too kind to Pablo Sandoval. We barely got one season out of him, and that season was dreadful. And $49 million, that's a tough nut to swallow, which is what he had remaining on his contract.
Now, just for folks who don't quite understand the intricacies of baseball contract, what does that mean? The Red Sox are on the hook for the rest of that contract no matter what?
So David Dombrowski has the next 10 days to either trade Pablo or release him. Well, another club is not going to trade for him, because then they'd be obligated to pick up his contract.
Yeah.
If the Red Sox release him, they're obligated to pay the $49 million that remains on the contract. Another team can sign him for the $500,000 major league minimum.
Yeah, well, over the years, there have been some great signings for Boston and a few bad ones, and that clearly is in the latter category. I want to talk to you a little bit about this series with the Yankees, which begins tonight, expand the conversation a little bit about this storied Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. And to help us do that, I want to introduce Mike Vaccaro. He's the lead sports columnist for the New York Post and author of Emperors and Idiots, the 100-year rivalry between the Yankees and the Red Sox from the very beginning to the very end of the curse. Mike Vaccaro, great to have you on Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
So, Mike, let me just start with you. Give us a little sort of mid-season update on the Yankees. Since mid-June, the Yankees have lost 18 of the 25 games they've played. Are Yankee fans worried about that? What's going on?
Well, I think they were just surprised for so long. They expected them to be 15 games over 500. Four games up.
Mike, we got a tough cell phone connection with you. Let me just see if we can hear you right now.
Sorry.
No, I think we're losing you, Mike. Let's see if my producer can reestablish contact with you, and we'll try to get you back. So, Gordon Eads, let me ask you the same question. I mean, I know you sort of take a look at all of baseball. Where are the Yankees at?
Well, the Yankees got a huge dose of bad news today, Anthony. Michael Pineda, one of the key members of their starting rotation, has a rotator cuff injury, and Tommy John surgery is being recommended, which, of course, then means he's lost for the season. And if the Yankees had a readily identifiable weakness, it is in their starting pitching. So for them to lose Pineda, you alluded to the fact, I think they've in their last 35 games, they're 14-21, like you said, 7-18 since the middle of June. So they've been trending in the wrong way here for a while. And this is a huge series for them to try to keep the Red Sox from creating a good bit of separation. And without Pineda, that job's going to become a lot harder.
Right. So I guess one of the big sort of sources of excitement for the Yankees is this young, big, strong guy, Aaron Judge, who's on pace to hit, 50, 60 home runs or something like that. How big is he? I mean, big in terms of what he contributes to the team.
Well, let's put it this way, Anthony. The man has 30 home runs. That's a record for a Yankee rookie for home runs in a season. And we're barely past the midway point. DiMaggio hit 29. He's hitting .329. Only Earl Combs in Yankee history has had a higher average for a rookie. So, and those of who tuned into the All-Star game, and particularly the Home Run Derby, were treated to I mean, it was a mind-boggling spectacle. The engineers who constructed Marlins Park, Anthony, were insistent to the Marlins that no one would ever hit that retractable roof. Well,
Judge hit it.
Judge hit it.
Wow. Mike Vaccaro, are you back with us?
I hope so. Do I sound like I'm back?
You sound like you're back. It's good to have you. Thank you for your patience. So we were just talking about Aaron Judge and just how much he offers the Yankee lineup and sort of the excitement in general around baseball.
He's really been amazing. And, you know, it's the one thing the Yankees have been able to rely on from day one, which is amazing because he's a rookie. And especially because last year, you know, he had a propensity to strike out, get into huge slumps. And while he still strikes out at a pretty good clip, the balls he hits in play tend to find their way either way over the fence or they hit so hard that fielders can't get to them. It's been a remarkable thing to watch. It really has been.
So I want to ask you both, and Mike, I'll start with you. I mean, I want to ask you about this potentially important series between the Red Sox and the Yankees and about this rivalry, because I feel that once upon a time, a mid-season series like this would have generated a lot more excitement and hype around it. Do you think has the sort of white hotness of this rivalry cooled off for some reason? You've written about it. What do you think?
To a degree, and I think the problem is that there's not as much familiarity between the combatants as there used to be. I mean, when you look back to, you know, just the most recent conflagration, which is 03, 04, that era, you know, these teams are playing each other not only 38 times a year, or, you know, 19 times a year, but all they've been in the playoffs every year. And it happened year after year after year. So, I mean, you know, New York hated Pedro Martinez.
Right.
I think Boston probably despised Alex Rodriguez. And these weren't things that were instantaneously hatched. They were born out over time. You know, in the same way that Thurman Munson and Carlton Fisk had a rivalry, DiMaggio and Williams had a rivalry, these things had to brew. While the uniforms are the same, I don't think that Boston has been able to generate a real hate for Aaron Judge just yet. Now, that might change depending on his production this weekend. And I think similarly, you know, when it comes to New York, it's not like booing Manny Ramirez and Pedro Martinez anymore. It's, you know, Chris Sale is a guy. It's going to take a little bit for the guys in the bleachers to really generate a distaste for him, I think.
Yeah. Gordon, how do you see this rivalry? Has it cooled off a little bit?
Well, it's clearly not the Red Sox versus the evil empire
right
these days. I do think it's cooled off, and I think part of it is the fact that, you know, the Yankees haven't won it since 2009, and there were a lot of anonymous guys wearing pinstripes in recent years. But that's what I find encouraging, Anthony, is that rather than launching into an extensive rebuild. It looks like the Yankees are turning things around a lot quicker than anyone anticipated. So you have both teams having a core group of young, potentially very exciting stars. And I think some of that familiarity that Mike is referring to, Red Sox fans could rattle off the Yankee lineup just as easily as they could rattle off the Red Sox lineup in 2003, 2004, and we may be headed back toward that.
Interesting. Well, Mike Vaccaro, how important is this weekend series, these four games, and what are you looking for? What's exciting you about it?
Well, I think it's important for the Yankees because they've been playing so poorly recently. They've gotten 15 games over to four games over, from four games, you know, essentially four games ahead of the Red Sox to four games behind the Red Sox. And I think they really need to reestablish in their own minds that they belong in the same fields as the Red Sox. The Sox were kind of the favorites coming in, and rightfully so. The Yankees played above their heads for a long time. I think this is a great opportunity for the Yankees to prove to themselves that they belong to be in the conversation for the division and to announce they're going to be in it for the long run. You know, conversely, I think it's an opportunity if the Red Sox were to win three out of four, I think the message it sends is that maybe they're about ready to chase the Yankees out of the race.
All right. Well, that's Mike Vaccaro. He's the lead sports columnist for the New York Post and author of Emperors and Idiots, 100 Years Rivalry Between the Yankees and the Red Sox from the very beginning to the end of the curse. Mike Vaccaro, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend and enjoy some baseball.
It was my pleasure. Have a great weekend, guys.
And Gordon Eads, lead historian, longtime sports writer, lead Red Sox historian. Gordon, great to have you. Have a good weekend.
You too, Anthony. Thank you.
And that's it for today and for this week on Radio Boston. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend and join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.